Well, tonight we're going to be in Judges chapter 4. I'd like to kind of cover the section of chapters 4 and 5 tonight. Both of those chapters fit well together, talking about the next judge that we'll see here, Deborah. So let's start in chapter 4. Then Ehud was dead. The children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. And the commander of his army was Sisera, who dwelt in Harosheth Hagoyim. So we see once again the continual cycle of the Israelites. They get back with the Lord. They walk with him for a season. Then they stray away. And then evil creeps in and they go to the false gods and worshiping all of the things around them as the world would be pleasing to them. And they would be in that culture of those around them and just really be grafted into the ways of the world around them. And then a season would pass, as we've seen, and then they would cry out to the Lord, and the Lord, being who he is, compassionate and merciful, would come in and give them their lickings and restore them and set them back up. And then there'd be a season where they would walk with the Lord again. And, you know, we see this continuing on here. And so, you know, as we see here, once again, in chapter 4, Ehud, the judge before, as we'll see, Deborah, he leaves the scene, and then the people of Israel just depart from the ways of the Lord. And that's, you know, interesting, because I got to thinking, you know, there's a lot of times when our circumstances or our surroundings around us, the influences of other people in our lives, you know, once they're gone, how is our relationship with the Lord? The way we see the people here is once he had died and passed off the scene, it was like free rein from the people to go and worship the false gods again. And that's not the desire of the Lord in our relationship with him. It shouldn't be dependent on other people in our lives or the surroundings around them, but the Lord desires that we would have a direct and intimate relationship with him, one-on-one, that is not dependent on others around him. And then we see the test here that, you know, the difficulties in life, one of two things can happen. Difficulties happen all the time in our life, and they can either make us stronger in the Lord, or we can stray away from our relationship with the Lord. It's really a test. And that was the purposes, as we see here in Judges. It was a test that the Lord was providing to the people. Do you desire to follow after me, or do you desire to go about your own ways? And then finally, we see that the Lord is always faithful to provide deliverance or a deliverer when the people cry out to him. You know, in this case, we're going to see them crying out to the Lord, and another deliverer or another judge steps in. You know, and I think of the picture there that we have of Jesus, the ultimate deliverer in our lives as New Testament saints, that he is always there for us to deliver us out of sin, to deliver us out of darkness, to deliver us out of the struggles of life. You know, and that's his desire, that it wouldn't be dependent on anything around us, but it would be solely dependent on our relationship with him, one to another. And so we see there that evil is abounding, and the Israelites are under bondage again, persecution, and there was an army rising up against them. In verse 4 here, And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, for Jabin had 900 chariots of iron, and for 20 years he had harshly oppressed the children of Israel. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lebidoth, was judging Israel at the time. And she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Then she sent and called for Barak, the son of Abinom, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "Has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor, take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and of the sons of Zebulun?" So we see Deborah come onto the scene here as the next deliverer or judge of the people of Israel. And we see that she's a prophetess. And that's just one who has been anointed by the Lord, that the Holy Spirit had been poured upon her, and the Lord had given her prophecy, you know, a foretelling of future things to come. And I love that because the Lord works in everybody's lives. There's not a special calling only for men. There's not a special calling only for women. There's a special calling to those whose hearts are sensitive to the Lord. And I love the testimony here of Deborah, that woman who had the heart of the Lord to minister to those around her. And I love how you see the picture of her. She was a prophetess who liked to hang out under the coolness shade of a tree. And the people would come to her and ask for wisdom and understanding, godly wisdom and understanding, because the people knew that she was anointed by the Lord. They could see that in her. And in that time that she would spend with the Lord, she was able to pass that on to those around her. And she was a blessing to the people around her. You know, she was approachable, wasn't she? You see that the people were coming, very approachable, sensitive to the people, allowing them to come in and talk and converse. And it wasn't all just, you know, nice things that she was saying. It was the good and the bad, trying to build up the people in the ways of the Lord. You know, and I like that. I like that picture of that Deborah portrays here of just being approachable by others. Approachable, that people can come to us and ask about the Lord, that they can come to us seeking the Lord, and we can share those things, the love of God that has been poured into our lives with them. Minister to those around you. Minister to the lost around you. Have that heart like Deborah to minister to people around you and be sensitive to those needs and approachable. You know, and I love that. I love how the Lord works through that. You know, that's one of the prayers that I have, that I would have a more intimate and deep desire for the lost around me. You know, have that desire to be able to see those around me like the Lord sees us, with compassion and sensitivity and love, and to be moved by the Holy Spirit to be able to encourage and edify those around me, you know, in the Lord. And that's the calling for all of us. You know, we each have our areas of influence in our life. We have jobs, we have home ministry, and everything in between. There's always an area where we can actively influence the people around us as the Lord would see. And as we see for Deborah, she was led by the Holy Spirit, anointed by the Holy Spirit, and that is so key, that we're walking in the Spirit of the Lord and enabling us to do those things that he's called us for. In verse 6 there, we see, then she sent and called for Barak, the son of Adonam from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "Has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor. Take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and the sons of Zebulun. And against you, I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude at the river Kishon, and I will deliver them into your hand. So Deborah, being the prophetess that she was, had received this foretelling of what was going to happen. And then she goes out and reaches out to Barak, who was a guy around who had apparently been giving the word of the Lord as well, because she kind of reiterates, hasn't the Lord said to you that this is going to happen? And so we see this event that will unfold prophetically given to Deborah and Barak. And the warning there is that a battle is coming, to get ready. And then ultimately the promise that the Lord gives to them, that I will deliver them into your hand. You know, how awesome is that when we hear a word from the Lord telling us how things are going to go, how things are going to play out, how things are going to unfold, and the assurance that we have that indeed the Lord is on our side and it will in fact play out exactly as the Lord has said. You know, that's the confidence that they have here, and that's the confidence that we have also in the Lord, because we have God's word. The promises that he has given us are true and faithful and available to all of us if we just trust and believe in those. We have the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that still small voice, the discerner, the helper, the one who provides God's presence in our soul and in our life and in our hearts and our minds, being readily available to tap into the wisdom and understanding of the Lord to tell us which way to go, which way not to go, the things that would unfold. All of that is available to us as well when we call out to the Lord and ask for that, as James tells us. And so I like the partnership that's developing here. So Deborah was a judge anointed by the Lord, but there was also a man coming alongside Barak that was going to join in, that had been given the message of the Lord as well. You know, and sometimes we need that partnership, don't we, with others? And that's important, as we see here in verse 8. And Barak said to her, if you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. So she said, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in the journey you are taking, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh. He went up with 10,000 men under his command, and Deborah went up with him. You know, it doesn't say, but the feeling you get from that was Barak was kind of unsure of himself. And you'll see hints of that later. He was like, you know, I think the Lord has given me that message, but this is a pretty strong deal. This is a pretty big deal. Calling in the troops, a big battle is going to unfold here. Deborah, I'll go if you go as well. And she says, absolutely, I'll go with you. You know, and sometimes we need that reassurance from somebody else in the Lord, right? You know, sometimes I have doubts. Is that really the Lord? Is that me? And you pray about it, and you seek the Lord's face, and you wonder, that still small voice, is that my voice or if that's the Lord's voice? And then a lot of times the Lord can give us confirmation of his message, his will, through another brother or another sister. And we see that happening here, the two kind of joining together for ministry and what the Lord would have for them. And that's good. That partnership is good sometimes, as the Lord would direct it. There's value in that. You know, I think of the verse that says the strand of three cords is not easily broken. And we see that picture here with Barak, with Deborah, and with the Lord. You know, how can you go wrong when that center strand is the Lord and having that three-corded strand together in partnership with the Lord in the center of it all? You know, and so there's times when we need to walk through things together as a family, as husband and wife, as friends, whatever the case may be. And there's other times where the Lord would direct, yeah, this is between me and you. But other times it's awesome. It's great to have that partnership, to have other brothers and sisters coming alongside in ministry for encouragement, for support, just for all of those things. And we see that here. So in verse 11, now Heber the Kenite of the children of Hoab, the father-in-law of Moses, had separated himself from the Canaanites and pitched his tent near the tabernacle tree at Zanim, which is beside Kedesh. So Heber had kind of cut ties with his clan there and was off in another area close to where this battle is going to unfold. And it kind of seems like, yeah, what's the point of this? But we're going to see here in a few verses what the point of it is that the Lord was going to use that family that had cut ties with the main group and use it for his purposes here. So Heber and others were there in the land available to be used by the Lord, as we'll see here. In verse 12, and they reported to Sisera that Barak, the son of Adonom, had gone up to Mount Tabor. So Sisera gathered together all his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and the people who were with him from Hershereth Hagoyim to the river Kishon. So you see the enemies there, the Canaanites, they were pretty stacked. They had 900 chariots of iron, so chariot and horse. And we know that the Israelites had nothing. You know, they had been oppressed and under bondage and literally had nothing like that. And so you can imagine what they were thinking when they gathered their troops for battle and they were up against the stacked army of the Canaanites with their chariots of iron and all of these things that they were going to fight against. And, you know, they probably had their doubts, what was going to unfold, how is this going to play out. The Lord has given us vision and promise. He will be there. He's faithful to that. But I imagine they had their doubts in how it was all going to play out, given the physical things that they were seeing in front of them. In verse 14, then Deborah said to Barak, up, for this is the day in which the Lord had delivered Sisera into your hand. Has not the Lord gone out before you? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with his 10,000 men following him, and the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army with the edge of the sword before Barak. And Sisera alighted from his chariot and fled on foot. But Barak pursued the chariots and the army as far as Hereseth Hegoim, and all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. Not a man was left. So you see the battle unfold. The Israelites are up on the mountains. There's this large valley in between, and they see all of the chariots down there. The Lord tells them to go down into the valley. Deborah says, Barak, get up, man. It's time to go. Come on, snap with it. Let's go. You know, you could kind of sense that he was unsure how this was all going to play out. You know, is the victory indeed the Lord's or not? And so this battle ensues in the plain, in the valley. And as we see in the next chapter, where Deborah gives more detail of it, what had happened was the Lord had sent this massive rainstorm upon the valley. So all of the people flood down, and think about if it's all muddy and wet and water flowing, how useful is it to have your chariots fighting your battle? They're essentially useless, right? And that was the awesomeness of the Lord to provide the victory to the people. Did they know what was going to unfold? How was the victory going to unfold? Probably not. But they took the step of faith, trusting in the Lord. In the back of their mind, hasn't the Lord saith? All of those things, let's go. They take that step, they fight the battle. In the middle of it, the rainstorm comes and they defeat all of their enemies. You know, that's awesome when we have that type of faith that moves us to the point where we trust the Lord 100%. When the enemies are against us, when there's no way out, and yet we have that little seed of faith to trust in the Lord, and we take that step, and then we see an absolute miracle unfold by the one that we serve, the God of heaven, the one who is in total control, and see the victory there. I love that, because I need help there. I don't have that faith. A lot of times, if it doesn't make sense to me, it can't happen. But we know that there's nothing impossible for the Lord. Nothing. He can see it through when we don't see a way. So why was this battle so important to the people of Israel? The ones that desired to serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, it tells us there in the previous chapter that there really is a testing, and that war is necessary to build that relationship in the people, that trust, that devotion in the Lord, that they're trained, that they're ready, that they're willing to do battle. And so you see here that battle, that warfare is important for the Christian, for the Jew, for the Israelite. And I got to thinking about that a little bit. You know, maybe we're not fighting physical battles right now, but we are absolutely fighting battles every day in our lives, one way or another, either spiritually, either physically, either fighting the dead man, the fleshly man versus the spiritual man, all of those things we have to wrestle with. Fighting for our families, fighting for what's right, all of those things. And then ultimately, we know that we're going to be fighting with Jesus at the end of the tribulation period. We're going to be coming back with him, and it's going to be the battle of all battles. So we need to be geared up and ready for battle, to have that experience, to have that warfare, to not succumb as a casualty in warfare, but to fight the good fight that the Lord would desire us to do in all of these areas of our life. You know, for our faith personally, for our families, for the world around us. You know, and how do we fight those battles here and now? You know, I was just thinking of a few things based on the sword of the Spirit, God's word. His word says, there is no temptation taken us such as common to man. The Lord will make a way of escape, that we would be able to bear those temptations, that we would not fall trapped to those things. So there's nothing by the power of God in our life that should trip us up if we desire to stand strong upon his power and strength. You know, the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. You You know, I look up to the heavens. From where comes my help, maker of heaven and earth? You know, Philippians 4, whatever is true, whatever is holy, whatever is right, whatever is pure, meditate on those things. Cast out all of the things that would not be of that. All things work together for good to those who are called according to the purposes of the Lord. You know, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Wow. All of those things relate to the battles that we face as Christians, physically and spiritually, so that in that we would have victory in those battles and that the Lord would get the glory in that. Say, Lord, you are so faithful. You are so strong. You have done such amazing things in my life that I am able to conquer those things in my life. And ultimately, that is only done for us as New Testament saints by the power of the cross. Jesus died upon the cross that sin and death would be conquered in the life of the believer. You know, over the last few weeks, as we kind of celebrated Easter and Passover, it was like I had a new understanding of that. You know, the cross, Jesus' sacrifice, all of those things. And then you read that in Corinthians that sin and death in our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit has been abolished. It's been conquered. It's been laid waste. It no longer has no strangle and no grip upon the person who believes in Jesus. And it was like, that's right. That is right. Why do I struggle with this? Why do I struggle with that? I now have the power of Jesus to conquer anything in my life, that it would no longer hold me down, that I would no longer be captive to that. And so just to have a new sense of that or realize it for the first time, the very power that the Lord gives us to conquer anything in our life that we struggle with that is not of him, that's of us, you know, for those thoughts that I have, for those things that I do, for the things that I say, for the way I treat people, all of those things. Those temptations that you go, man, why do I fall in that area time and time again? The Lord says you have absolute power to conquer that. And that's an amazing thing, that power that we have in Jesus. And it's available for all of us through that Holy Spirit in our lives. So now in verse 17, however, Sisera had fled on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, for there was peace between Jabin, king of Hazor, and the house of Heber the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera, and said to him, turn aside, my lord, turn aside to me, do not fear. And when he had turned aside with her into the tent, she covered him with a blanket. And when he said to her, please give me a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. So she opened a jug of milk and gave him a drink and covered him. And he said to her, stand at the door of the tent, and if any man comes and inquires of you and says, is there any man here? You shall say, no. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a tent peg, took a hammer in her hand, and went softly to him and drove the peg into his temple, and it went down into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary, and he died. Wow. So the traitor takes off. He abandons his whole camp of troops and says, man, you know, the Lord has conquered my army, but it's time for me to flee and escape. And so he goes to the nearby camp there, and he sneaks into the lady's tent, and she welcomes him in, And he goes to sleep and says, finally, you know, I've escaped. And then you see the picture there of her just hammering on him. Hammered it down so hard he stuck to the ground. And that's a good word that... Not if you're in a tent. We can go on and on, man. Keep it going. You know, the Lord's will be accomplished because he said all of them are going to die. All of them. So you can run, but you can only run so far before I'm going to find you out and you're going to succumb to the God of the universe. You know, and I wonder for her, Jael's wife, you know, whether she knew when he was coming because she had saw the battle and she knew, yeah, moved by the Lord, he's going down. Or if it was at that time when he said, hey, lie for me. I'm a coward. Lie for me. Tell me I wasn't here. And in that lying, you know, the Holy Spirit poured upon her and she says, it's time for you to leave. And killed him. I don't know, but it's kind of interesting to think about. But the Lord moved through her in accomplishing the promise that he had given Barak and Deborah. And that's the thing. We always know that the Lord's promises are sure. In verse 22, and then Barak pursued Sisera. Jael came out to meet him, and he said to them, come, I will show you the man whom you seek. And when he went into her tent, there lay Sisera dead with a peg in his temple. So on that day, God subdued Jabin, king of Canaan, in the presence of the children of Israel, and the hand of the children of Israel grew stronger and stronger against Jabin, king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. So the Lord's victory, he fought the battle. He miraculously moves and defeats the army and allows the people to experience some freedom from the oppression that was a part of them. So it was completely God's victory. And I imagine the people that had experienced that knew that firsthand. And the reason why that is because in the next chapter, we see there's a song of celebration and deliverance and remembrance the day after the battle of the goodness of the Lord. And so I like to just read through this and hit a couple things. Then Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinadab, sang on that day, saying, when leaders lead in Israel, and when the people willingly offer themselves, bless the Lord. Hear, O kings, give ear, O princes. I will sing to the Lord. And I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the field of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens poured and the clouds also poured water. The mountains gushed before the Lord, this Sinai before the Lord God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were deserted, and the travelers walked along the byways. Village life ceased. It ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose, a mother in Israel. They chose new gods. Then there was war in the gates. Not a shield or spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. My heart is with the rulers of Israel, who offered themselves willingly with the people. Bless the Lord. So we see here a recount, a remembrance of all the details that had aspired in the Lord's victory, how he had worked through it. They're saying, we remember, we were destitute. We had nothing. We were under oppression. We had worshiped false gods. And Lord, you delivered us out of that. And they're celebrating the victory of the Lord. And I think that's a good word for us as well. You know, a lot of times we pray it up before things happen. We pray it up during things are happening. On the backside of something, are we also giving praise and thanksgiving and remembering all that the Lord had done through a circumstance in life, through a trial, through whatever it would be, you know, all of those things. It's important to prepare beforehand, to seek the Lord during it, and give him thanksgiving afterwards in that. So, so important. And their hearts were joyful. They had just seen a miraculous thing, and they were giving the Lord praise and song and worship and all of those things. And that's very, very important, I believe. You know, we've talked about this before, but remembering the works of the Lord in our lives, personally, in our lives as a congregation, whatever it would be, write those things down. Have a journal, have a prayer book. You know, we have one of those where I don't do a very good job of writing things down. But when I do, I go back and look at it, and I was like, I totally forgot about that. That is awesome. How in the world did that all play out? Lord, you are so good in those things. Because our tendency is to forget, or we get, you know, I don't know, you know, you, what's the right word? You just like don't appreciate how awesome the Lord had moved through a circumstance the farther out it gets. You know, oh yeah, that was great. He healed my wife of breast cancer and walked through the whole treatment, all of that. Yeah, that was cool, Lord. But if I journal those things and those experiences that I was going through, that we were going through, that my wife was struggling with, and you look back and go, that was a hard time. That was a difficult battle. And Lord, you brought us through. Thank you, Lord. Praise you. Celebrate that. And that's what was happening here. Look, we still have this song thousands of years later, rejoicing and thanking the Lord for his faithfulness through the lives of Deborah. You know, how awesome is that? And that's what can unfold in our lives as well, personally, when we remember these things. So speak, you who ride on white donkeys, who sit in judges' attire and who walk along the road. Verse 11, far from the noise of the archers among the watering places, then they shall recount the righteous acts of the Lord and the righteous acts for his villagers in Israel. Then the people of the Lord shall go down to the gates. Awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake, sing a song, arise, Barak, and lead your captives away, O son of Ibnon. And the survivors came down, and the people against the nobles. The Lord came down for me against the mighty. From Ephraim were those whose roots were in Amalek. After you, Benjamin, with your people. From Machir, rulers came down, and from Zebulun, those who bear the recruiter's staff. And the princes of Issachar were with Deborah, as Issachar was with Barak, sent into the valley under the command. Among the divisions of Reuben, there were great resolves of heart. Why did you sit among the sheepfolds to hear the piping of the flocks? The divisions of Reuben have great searchings of heart. Gilead stayed beyond the Jordan. Why did Dan remain on ships? Asher continued at the seashore and stayed by his inlets. Zebulun is a people who jeopardized their lives to the point of death. Naphtali also, the heights of the battlefield. The kings came and fought, and the kings of Canaan fought in Taanach and the waters of Megiddo. They took no spoils of silver. They fought from the heavens, the stars, and their courses fought from against Sisera. The torrent of Kishon swept them away, and the ancient torrent, the torrent of Kishon. Oh, my soul, march on in strength. Then the horses' hooves pounded, the galloping of the steeds. Curse Merazad, said the angel of the Lord. Curse its inhabitants bitterly, because they did not come to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the Almighty. Most blessed among women is Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. Blessed is she among women in tents. He asked for water, she gave milk. She brought out cream in a lordly bowl. She stretched her hand to the tent peg. her right hand to the workman's hammer. She pounded Sisera, she pierced his head, she split and struck through his temple. At her feet he sank, he fell, he lay still. At her feet he sank. He fell. Where he sank, there he fell dead. The mother of Sisera looked through the window and cried out through the lattice, "Why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarries the clatter of his chariots?" Her wisest ladies answered her. Yes, she answered herself. They are not finding and dividing the spoil to every man a girl or two. For Sisera plunder of dyed garments embroiled and dyed. 2 pieces of dyed embroidery for the neck of the looter. Thus, in verse 31, let all your enemies perish, O Lord, but let those who love him be like the sun when it comes out in full strength. So the Lord had rest for 40 years. You know, again, they remembered the Lord's work. They remembered the role that they had in the battle. Deborah and Barak, instruments in the Lord's hand to accomplish his purposes. And they remembered where they came from. They were desolate. They were oppressed. They had nothing to fight with. But yet the Lord came through and accomplished a great victory. You know, and that's a good thing to remember for us as well. We're blessed. We are so, so blessed. But it's always good to look back and say, I was dead. I was caught up in sin. I had no life. Thank you, Lord, for giving me life, for giving me everything that I am. I am so, so blessed. And I think if you lose sight of where you came from, you lose sight of where you are. And so it's always good to reflect upon how dead in sin we were. You know, we deserve the wages of our sin being death. But yet the Lord has granted us such an abundant and blessed life here and now and into eternity. And I like to close with this, that last verse. Let those who love the Lord be like the sun when it comes out in full strength. You know, the picture there of just the most beautiful, radiant sun shining its warmth and light all around, you know, where nothing can hinder that light, that bright, powerful, strong radiance of the Lord and each of us radiating out that light to the world around us. That they would see something different in us, that they would see the love of Christ, and they would wonder what that's all about. You know, all for the Lord, all for his purpose, all for his glory. You know, being, shining that light of Jesus to a world around them, around us. Let's pray. Well, Father, how blessed we are, Lord. Thank you for the victories that you've accomplished in our life as well. May we be those that are battled up, having that full armor continuously each and every day, Lord, that we would not succumb to the trials and the struggles and the difficulties of life, but we would stand strong upon the firm foundation of Christ. All for your glory, all for your purposes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.